Good morning, and good to see you. And let us bow our head and ask our Lord's blessing for this time together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the redemptive work of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that salvation is available to all through faith in Jesus Christ alone. May your Holy Spirit fill each one this morning, and may your words be spoken through me this morning, not mine. In Jesus' precious name, we pray, amen. We have started the book of Psalms for our Wednesday Bible study at the beginning of this year, and we just finished Psalms 26 and 27 of a total of 150 psalms in the book. The Hebrew title of Psalms is Tehillim, which means praise songs. The 150 psalms in the book was composed and compiled by numerous authors over a period of almost 1,000 years. And authors included Moses, David, Solomon, and others. And David wrote about half of the 150 psalms. And we'd like to speak on Psalms 3 and 4 today, and to give those who are not attending our Bible study a flavor of our Wednesday Bible study at Head of Bible Chapel here. And perhaps you would join our Bible study. For those who attend the Bible study, and this might be a review for you, but I hope that you would also get something out of this message. Some psalms have titles, but not all of the psalms. It was also unknown when the titles were added and who added the titles. But the titles are considered as a part of the inspired text. The titles provide the context to the psalms, i.e. the history or subject. Both Psalms 3 and 4 have titles, and the title of Psalm 3 is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And the title of Psalm 4 is to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. So from the titles, we know that David wrote these two psalms, and that David was fleeing from Absalom, his son. Psalm 3 is also known as the morning psalm, and Psalm 4 is known as the evening psalm. Both psalms are categorized as personal lament, as David was fleeing from his son Absalom. Most of you would know who King David is, but for those who are new to studying of the Bible, I would like to give a brief history of Israel and about King David to give the background and set the context of these two psalms. After God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt by Moses, the Israelites finally entered the promised land of Canaan after wandering in the desert for 40 years. And we read in Acts 13, 19 to 22 here, which is shown on the screen, which gives a good background. And when he, that is God here, had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Simon the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. But Saul disobeyed God. So God removed Saul as king. God raised up David as king over Israel, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So after God brought the Israelites into the promised land, the Israelites, seeing that the nations around them had kings, they also wanted a king, a human king. Even though God was leading them, and God is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and their king. So God gave them Saul as king, but Saul disobeyed God, so God removed Saul as king and raised up David as king over Israel. Both Saul and David were the anointed kings of Israel. King David was called a man after God's own heart because he wholeheartedly sought God, and God was with David. When David was just a shepherd boy, keeping his father's Jesse's sheep, he killed a lion or a bear to rescue the lamb from its mouth when it came and took a lamb out of the flock. And God gave David the courage to rescue the sheep from this wild beast. You can read more about this in 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 35. And when he was still a teenager, you heard this story before, he killed Goliath, a 9-foot giant of the Philistine army's enemies, in the famous battle with a slingshot, that giving a great victory to the Israelites over the Philistines. And you can read about that in 1 Samuel 17. David was a warrior, a poet, a songwriter, an accomplished musician who played the harp to soothe King Saul's troubled spirit at one time, and also a shepherd. King David, a man after God's own heart, was not perfect though. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah to cover up his adultery. And you can read about that in 2 Samuel 11. But he was repentant about his sin. He loved the Lord with all his heart. In the later years of David, probably in his early 60s, his own son Absalom rebelled against him, scheming to kill him and take the kingdom of Israel. And some background that led to his son Absalom rebelling against King David. First, Amnon was the firstborn of King David, and he fell in love with his lovely half-sister Tamar. Amnon followed the evil advice of Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, pretended that he was sick and asked King David's permission to have Tamar to prepare food for him. And when Tamar was in the room serving him the food, he raped Tamar. And you can read that in 2 Samuel as well. I read from 2 Samuel 13:21. But when the King David heard of these things, he was very angry. But sadly, King David did not do anything about it. Perhaps realizing his own sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba and arranging for Bathsheba's husband Uriah to be killed in the battlefield. As King David did not do anything about this matter, Absalom, his son, took the matter into his own hand and murdered Amnon in revenge for defiling his sister Tamar. Absalom killed Amnon in revenge and fled to Geshur and was there 3 years. And after 3 years had passed, King David was comforted concerning Amnon, his son, being murdered in revenge by Absalom, because King David missed his son Absalom. Eventually, King David forgave Absalom and brought him back to Jerusalem in his own house. And Absalom thought that he got away with murdering his half brother and now schemed to kill his own father to take over the kingdom. Absalom was a handsome prince with thick hair. He cunningly won over the people of Israel and conspired to kill his father, King David, God's anointed king of Israel, to take over the kingdom. He even got Ahithophel, David's counselor and once close friend, on his side. And learning of the plot of his son Absalom planning to kill him, David, along with his servants or attendants and trusted friends, fled and left Jerusalem. And you can read about that in 2 Samuel 15. David wrote these two psalms when he was being pursued by his own son, whom he loved. We can imagine how distressed King David would be. It would be one thing being pursued by one's enemies, but it would be another thing being pursued by one's loved one and also betrayed by one's close friend. King David, a man after God's own heart, during this low point in his life, he cried out to God in prayers in the morning and at night for help. He knew that he was the chosen king, anointed king by God, not his son. And he believed and trusted in God's promise. He had full confidence in God's will and purpose. David took his troubles to God in prayers, and he experienced peace of God, knowing that God is in control of the situation. With this background, we'll go to the two psalms. Psalm number one, the title, as I mentioned before, is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom. So we know the situation here. Let's read Psalm together. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people, Selah. In verses 1 to 2, David cried out to the Lord, God, about his troubles. I read again, 1 to 2. Lord, how they were increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no hope for him in God, Selah. King David called upon the Lord because his life was at stake and the future of the kingdom was at stake. He cried out to the Lord because he was fleeing from his enemies, who were many rising up against him. People were saying discouraging things, that there is no help for him in God. They were saying that God was not on David's side any longer. Otherwise, this bad situation would not happen to him. These discouraging words hurt David deeply. At the end of verse 2, we notice that this is the first time in the scripture that the term Selah is used. Selah is used about 71 to 73 times in the Psalms and 3 times in the book of Habakkuk. A common view of this term Selah is that it is used to indicate a pause, a moment of silence and meditation in the psalm. Or in a musical term, it is used to direct the singers as psalms, play psalms to be silent, singers to be silent, while the instruments continue to play an interlude of harmony. In verses 3 to 4, David affirmed his trust and confidence in the Lord. And I read 3 and 4 again. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. David looked to the Lord God by faith, referring to God as a shield for him. A shield is a piece of handheld armor used in the battle those days to block attacks of a sword from the enemy or to block enemy's arrows. David looked to God to protect him from the attack of his enemies. David had confidence that God would lift up his head and restore him to his throne, as he knew that he was God's anointed, the chosen king of Israel. David's prayer was not a silent prayer. He cried to the Lord with his voice. And when we pray to God in our own distress, it is fine to cry out aloud to God. In David's prayer to the Lord, he started with his problem and trouble, and then he expressed his trust and confidence in the Lord. And now in verses 5 to 6, he anticipated the victory. And I'll read the rest of the passage. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. David lay down and slept. He awoke in safety, for the Lord sustained him. This verse number 5, is why Psalm 3 is known as the morning song or psalm. As David awoke from his sleep, safe and secure, when he wrote this song. David knew that his son Absalom was coming with a great army to take his life, but he had confidence that God would give him victory. Even 10,000 people were coming against him in the battle. David recalled his own personal experiences in the past that God had delivered him from his enemies many times before. And God would give him victory over the great army of his son Absalom. David compared his enemies as wild beasts, that God would strike his enemies on the cheekbone and break their teeth. A wild beast without teeth could not bite and could not harm. David relied on the Lord for his victory. This reminds me of Jesus asleep in the storm in Mark 4:38, and Apostle Peter asleep in the prison in Acts 12. The lesson here for us is we can trust in God for safety and security even in seemingly hopeless situations. As believers, we can trust in God, the Almighty God, and do not have to fear man. Romans 8:31, God is for us, who can be against us? We are to fear God, and this is reverent fear of God, knowing that God is the Almighty God, and not to fear man. Matthew 10:28a, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. David was in great distress because his once close friend and counselor betrayed him, and his son Absalom was pursuing him with a great army to take his life. Yet David was able to sleep in peace. He was able to sleep in peace because he had peace of God, trusting in God for his safety and security. In Psalm 3, 7 to 8, David trusted in God to take revenge against his enemies. The Bible also teaches us, as believers, we should never take our own revenge, because vengeance belongs to the Lord, and he will repay the opposition and bring blessings to us. Romans 12, 19. David wrote Psalm 3 in the morning when he woke up in safety and after a peaceful sleep, knowing that the Lord was his shield. And let's go to Psalm 4. And the title of Psalm 4 is "To the Chief Musician with String Instruments," a psalm of David. So clearly we can see that this psalm would be being sung by the Israelites and being read by the Israelites in those days. Let's read Psalm 4 together. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." In verse 1, David looked to the Lord and prayed, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." And David called upon God of his righteousness in his prayer. Only God is righteous. And David knew that his righteousness came from God. David recounted his past experiences and that God had delivered him many times before, and pleaded with God to have mercy on him and deliver him again from being pursued by his own son to take his life. Verses 2 to 3. "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." The sons of men in verse 2 refers to the leading men supporting Absalom, who led the people astray based on the lies and false promises of Absalom. The people weren't just deposing a king, but they were fighting against God, because David was God's chosen king of Israel, not his son. When David was pursued by King Saul, some of you know that, before he became king, and King Saul was pursuing David to take his life because of Saul's jealousy for David's successes in the battlefield, because God was with David. David had two opportunities to kill King Saul, but he refused to even harm King Saul because he respected that King Saul was the Lord's anointed, David trusted in God's promise that he would be king, and trusted in God's timing that he would be king over Israel in due time, in the right time. He resisted from taking the matter into his own hand, even though the circumstances presented itself that he could have killed King Saul, who was pursuing him to kill him. David in verse 3 expressed his confidence in God, as David knew he was the anointed one and not his son, and that God would hear his prayer. Verses 4 to 5. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. King David was exhorting, urging this internal opposition to change their ways and minds. They needed to realize that he, not Absalom, was God's anointed. He urged them to be angry for the righteous causes and stop sinning. He encouraged them to be still and think through their actions and turn back to the Lord. Paul quoted this verse in Ephesians 4:26. I'd like to read Ephesians 4:25-28 to you. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The context of the passage of Ephesians is not to grieve the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit convicts us, being a believer, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, of a sin, we need to repent, confess our sin, and turn from our sin, and not to give in to the devil. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is appropriate to have a selah, or a pause, at the end of verse 4, to be still and to meditate. We are also to meditate within our hearts when we lie down in our bed. Be still and search our hearts to see if we have sinned ourselves. If we do, we need to repent. David and his men would not be able to offer their sacrifices to God as they were on the run, being pursued. But David looked forward to being back in Jerusalem so that he and his men could again offer sacrifices to God. God desires sincere sacrifices, sacrifices of righteousness, and not insincere sacrifices. David prayed and urged his internal oppositions to change their ways and change their minds. They needed to realize that he and not his son was God's anointed. He encouraged them to be still and think through their actions and turn back to God. We'll read the remaining verses 6 to 8. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that grain and wine increase. I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David heard and knew that many with him, his own men, were discouraged about the situation. They asked, who will show us any good? That means, who can get us out of this trouble? David prayed that God would lift up his glorious face, countenance upon them. God is light. To have God's face or countenance shine upon them would mean God would be pleased with them. David had the confidence that God was with him and his people. since God was with David and his men, Absalom's army, although a great number, would not be able to stand against them because they would be fighting against God. With this confidence in God, David had peace and gladness in his heart. This peace and gladness was better than plentiful of grain and wine after great harvest. Verse 8 is the reason why this psalm is known as the evening psalm. As David wrote this psalm in the evening before he lay down in peace and slept. David lay down in peace and slept, trusting his safety in God's capable hands. Are you having restless nights that you cannot sleep because of some stressful situation out of your control that you are facing in your life? May it from work, financial situation, relationship, or family issues. Pray and trust in God's will in all circumstances. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have peace of God? To have peace of God, first you need to have, or we need to have, peace with God. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners, and as sinners, we are all alienated from God and all destined to die. Before we became believers, we were enemies to God and we did not have peace with God. If you are a believer, you have peace with God, as Jesus died and paid for your sins' price to reconcile you to God, to restore your broken relationship with God. Romans 3:10b, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As God is a just and righteous God, he cannot leave sin unpunished. Romans 6:23, and we know this verse well. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 1 Corinthians 15:3b to 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, or the righteous for the unrighteous, based on the NIV translation, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Death came to this world because of sin, and as we are all sinners, we all are destined to die, but praise to God for his amazing grace that he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins in our place. The just, the righteous, die for the unjust, the unrighteous. Jesus died on the cross for us, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, not to die again. He is victorious over sin, death, and the power of Satan. And through faith in Jesus Christ alone, that is, believing that Jesus Christ died for us, our sins are forgiven by God, and we are no longer enemies of God, and we receive the free gift of abundant life. A new spiritual life with the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and eternal life to be with God forever and ever. And this is the good news. In summary, David wrote Psalm 3 in the morning when he woke up in safety, knowing that the Lord was his shield. And David wrote Psalm 4 in the evening before he lay down and had a peaceful sleep, trusting in God for his safety. The principle or application here for us as believers is that we can also have a peaceful sleep at night, knowing that the Lord is our shield and trusting in God to watch over us. We all need a peaceful sleep to function well. Insomnia, the inability to sleep peacefully, would negatively impact on our energy level, our productivity, our mood, and our ability to think clearly and make the right decisions. And you, most of you would experience that, right? And most of you might have experienced sleepless nights as well, and you know how awful it would feel not having enough sleep. There are many causes and reasons for not able to sleep well. Sleeplessness can be caused by medical conditions, even convicted by the Holy Spirit of sins, but often sleeplessness can be caused by worries of things out of our control. And talking about medical conditions impacting on how well we sleep, and some of you know that last Thursday I had a sleepover at the UBC hospital at the sleep clinic to assess my medical conditions during sleep, because I have irregular heartbeats, and the sleepover is to assess how the irregularities of my heartbeats during sleep, where it is impacted by my moderate apnea, and also how effective is the device that I was using. I was using an oral appliance. Some of us will know what the CPAP machine is. I'm using a CPAP machine as also the oral appliance. So I'm speaking to myself that, you know, I need to address these medical issues, but I also need to trust everything in God's hands in this matter. If we are convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sin and cannot sleep, we need to repent. And God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But here in these two Psalms, we're talking about casting our worries on things that are out of our control on God, and trusting in God, in his will and purpose, and to experience his peace so that we can have a peaceful sleep. Jesus knows that as human being, you and I, we tend to worry. And Jesus tells us, do not worry, in Matthew 6, 25 and 34, and in Luke 12, 22 and 34. And I read from Luke 12, 29 to 31 here. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. King David had much to worry about because he was betrayed by his once close friend and was being pursued by his own son with a great army to take his life. He wrote these two psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these two psalms would be read and sung by the Israelites, and are read and meditated upon by Jewish and Gentile believers today, to remind us to bring our worries to God in prayers, to rely on him for our safety and security, and to trust in Him in His perfect will and purpose in all situations. In closing, I would like to read the following verses from the Bible to encourage us as believers that we can trust in God even though we do not understand why we are facing the troubles we are facing. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to the purpose. Hebrews 13:5b, for He Himself has said, and God said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit indwelling in us. And God is with us, and He cannot leave us nor forsake us. And Romans 8:31b, and I love this verse, if God is for us, who can be against us? And God does not lie and cannot lie. As Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We can trust in God's words, His promises to us, that all things work for the good for those who love God. God is for us. Who can be against us? God will not leave us nor forsake us. If you are not a believer yet, you can also experience God's peace, the peace with God and peace of God, by confessing that you are a sinner, believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace shown to us by giving us Your only begotten Son, who came in human flesh as one of us, yet without sins, and died on the Calvary cross as the sinless sacrifice to pay for sin's price, that is death in full. Thank You that as believers we can cry out to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ when we face oppositions and troubles, and You hear us. Thank You that we can trust in Your promises that You are for us, and You will not leave us nor forsake us, and all things will work out for the good for all who love You. We pray that if there's anyone who has not trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior and Lord, will acknowledge that he or she is a sinner, repent from the sinful past, trust in Jesus Christ, and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and receive the gift of eternal life and a new spiritual life now. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.